Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. It's Russell Bear and Trey on the drive. The top 5 at 5 is brought to you by FanDuel. Bear?
Thank you, Russell. Number one, the 2020 SEC Championship game is being moved to be played in primetime for the first time in nearly 20 years.
Really? Has it been 20 years?
Yeah. The original schedule was scrapped due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the 10-game conference-only slate was created in place.
I kind of like it.
The 2020 game will be the first time that it won't be held on the first Saturday in December since 2001, when it was moved back 1 week due to the cancellations caused by the September 11 terror attack.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember the 07 game that we were in. I was there. That was against LSU. That was a 3:30 or 4 o'clock kickoff. But I want to say that the 2004 game against Auburn that we lost.
That was a night game.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that was a night game. Huh.
Now, the ones against Mississippi State and Auburn were in the 90s were night games, weren't they?
Yes.
I think they were like 4 o'clock kickoffs. I mean, this is
not
the
ones,
time
the
I
ones in the 90s were like 8 o'clock.
Well, that's what this is. I mean, yeah, I'm a fan, man. I love football in the evening. And if it's Alabama, Georgia.
Great example.
I don't know. Do we think Florida is going to – I think Florida has something for Georgia if they can – that's going to be a low-scoring game, I believe. Be interesting to see.
All right, number two, Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill plans to opt out of the 2020 season to train for the 2021 draft. According to an article from friend of the show, Barrett Solis, the latest bad news in a downward spiral for a Mississippi State program that has lost 3 straight. Too bad for the Pirates.
Okay, so, you know, we were talking about bad signs with Jamie. That's something to keep an eye on, you know, if we do lose,
we start to having an opt out.
If we lose to Arkansas, yeah. Do guys start saying? And Trey, you were asking Bill Bender about this in hour number one. Like, do guys start saying that's enough for me? I'm not gonna risk getting hurt. Maybe getting COVID. I'm gonna shut it down. Finish up, do online learning or whatever. It'll be an interesting story to watch. But already is Keelan Hill the first domino to fall in that regard.
Yeah, we'll see.
Lost you, Trey. Go ahead, Bear.
We'll see what happens when it comes to these players deciding to opt out. I mean, maybe Garantano starts preparing for the NFL. I don't know.
What's he going to do in the NFL? You got a coaching gig lined up?
The NFL, the National Foosball League? Does he have hobbies we don't know about?
Maybe the Arena League. I don't know.
All right.
Okay. Is that done?
Sorry about that. Number three, the Pittsburgh Steelers' Mike Tomlin and the Baltimore Ravens' John Harbaugh are setting records this weekend. They're set to face off for the 25th time.
Really?
Yeah. They've become the first pair of head coaches in the Super Bowl era to face off 25 times in the regular season.
Doesn't seem like they've been around that long, but I guess keeping their jobs for
12, 13 years.
Yeah, keeping their jobs for that long, playing in the same division. They play each other twice a year, so makes sense.
Yeah, Harbaugh holds a 13-11 edge over Tomlin in the regular season since their first meeting in 2008. It's been a closely contested series that has resulted in two-thirds of the games being decided by 4 points or fewer, including 4 overtime games. I am really looking forward to this one. It should be a slobber knocker.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're really looking forward to those Pittsburgh-Baltimore games usually are.
Yeah, I mean, remember the year that they broke Big Ben's nose and he left the game for, like, what, one play? Like, had somebody smash it back into place on the sidelines. He's right back in there. That's what football is all about.
Beautiful.
All right. Number four. This is kind of a weird one, Russ. And one of the surest signs of an impending apocalypse we have yet seen, Russell, a New York City fell about 15 feet into a pit of what?
Rats.
When a sidewalk sinkhole opened.
Rats.
Debbie, did you read the article?
Yep. Yeah, I saw it. I saw the video, too. It's terrifying. Guys just standing there on the sidewalk, and then all of a sudden...
Wait, there's a video?
You can't play along and act like you don't know what it is.
No, I want to show off and show you how prepared I am. Nailed it, huh?
Thought you snuck one by me.
No, you can't get anything by me.
Because I took the dockets yesterday, aren't you?
No, Just showing you I'm on top of things.
Trey, what would you do if a sidewalk suddenly split open and swallowed you up and you landed in a pit of rats?
I would try to break my own neck and kill myself.
Okay. All right. And finally, number five, this is more of a lighthearted story. A woman in labor had her husband stop on the way to the hospital for the birth of their child so she could do what, Russell?
Stop where?
On the way, a woman in labor had her husband stop on the way to the hospital for the birth of their child so she could do what?
Oh, so it doesn't say where they stopped. The casino, so she could play blackjack. Stop at...
You had your one shot, Drew.
Stopped at the Chick-fil-A to get a chicken sandwich.
No. Incorrect.
What about stopping at a bar for a drink?
No. You all are all three idiots. Karen Bracino Gonzalez, an employee of the Orange County Supervisor of Elections, said she was processing voter ballots about 2:30 p.m. Tuesday when a man came in with his wife's driver's license. The man explained his wife was outside the car and wanted to cast her vote.
Wow.
Lady was in labor and insisted on voting before going to the hospital.
Guess she didn't want to wait till Tuesday.
No. So,
see, folks.
They gave her a future voter sticker and an I voted sticker.
If that lady can vote while in labor, then what's your excuse? Get on out there to the polls, and as Jerome Pruitt said, exercise your civic duty.
Anybody ask him if he knows what the definition of civic duty? Why'd I do that?
That was uncalled for, man. He's struggling right now. He's not stupid. He's not stupid, man. Come on, stop that.
No, I apologize. Sorry.
It's not good.
A little out of line.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that was your top five at five, and as always, it is brought to you by FanDuel. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit is required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bets you're looking for and then locking it in. And unlike other sportsbooks, once you win, FanDuel will get you your cash in as little as 24 hours. But right now, the right thing for you to do is to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out the app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook goes live. That's promo code DRIVE1 to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, please call 1-800-889-9789. And Russell, I would like to add to you and Trey that I have downloaded the FanDuel Sports app.
It's about time.
I've got my free site credit ready.
Wow.
And as a heads up to listeners here in the near future, because of the app, I will be giving gambling information. I'm going to be a tout.
Bear the Bookie, coming soon to Fan Run Radio. Lord help us all.
Well, I mean, you guys have been trying to explain stuff to me forever. I downloaded this app, and then so it was like the clouds where I understand it now.
So you're going to give us Bears best bets next week?
I might. Or it might be a subscription-only service.
Yes. The guy who can't figure out how a point spread works is going to have his own 900 number. That's fantastic.
Anyhow, back to you, bud.
Drew, I just want to say, I am looking at your piece at fanrunradio.com. That is very comprehensive. Well done, sir.
Appreciate it.
You guys seen this?
What do you write about?
It's just called Jeremy Pruitt by the Numbers. And he talks about his record, talks about his record versus SEC opponents. He has it listed, you know, very, like I said, very comprehensive.
I'm proud of Drew. Let me tell you something. Drew puts in the work. We talk at nights about some of his stuff that he puts out, and I'm very proud of Drew. Very proud of him.
Appreciate it, Trey. Thank you.
Absolutely.
He's got recruiting rankings. So the first three classes for Pruitt, Butch, and Dooley. So, for example, it's been a while, but Dooley's 2010 class ranked 7th nationally and 4th in the SEC. His 2011 class ranked 14th nationally, and then his 2012 class ranked 19th nationally. So he was going in the wrong direction, right? Check out Butch Jones, on the other hand. Say what you want about Butch, and I always said this, even in 2017, the guy can recruit. 25th nationally in 2013, his first class. In 2014, his second class, 7th nationally. And then in 2015, his third class, 4th nationally. Now, I know they were able to sign over 30 guys in that one, so that skews the numbers a little bit. But, again, go back and look at the guys that he put in the pros. He got talent here. Can't argue that. Jeremy Pruitt's first three classes, 2018, 21st nationally, 2019, 13th nationally. And then this one he's putting together right now is currently rated 10th nationally. Or no, this was – last year's was 10th nationally,
yes.
Right? Okay. So and right now he's on par for, like, I think, number 10, 247. So we're looking at top 10, top 15. Go back, go to fanrunradio.com and check out Drew's piece there. I'll be going through it more in depth later tonight. Some good information there. Let's go to the phones. Phil is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Philly.
What are you doing?
What's up, Philly?
I saw that work by Drew there. Pretty good stuff.
Appreciate it, Philly. Thank you.
When you look at it, what difference maker has Jeremy Pruitt recruited in his first 3.5 years here?
Toto.
Katoa Toa start at Alabama? No.
This year, yeah, he would. Phil.
I think he would, yeah.
Would he?
He'd absolutely start there. The only school in the SEC where I'd wonder if he'd start would be Georgia, and that's simply because they have
one player that's going to catch up with the
board. Well, no, I mean, your point is well taken. Not enough. He's not recruiting well enough here. But he's not winning enough to get the recruits.
Well, it's on his fault, isn't it? I mean, he's the head man. I mean, everybody makes excuses for him. He can't hire who he wants to hire and this, that, and the other. Is Tennessee committed to have winning football?
It's, you know, I think Philip Fulmer wants it as much as we do, Phil. I think, you know, the administration wants it, but they can't get it out of their own way. And they've had some poorly run coaching searches the past three times the job's been open. And it's not looking good for Jeremy Pruitt right now.
Well, if Jeremy Pruitt is any good at all, if he goes 5-5, I can live with that. But I won't see major improvement next year. But he's got to go 5-5. Well, this is going to be a dumpster fire going into next year.
5-5. That's where we are in year 3. 5-5.
Well,
I guess
the best I can see.
Yeah, I feel you. I'd be. 5-5 would be a nice recovery after losing to Kentucky. That would be a nice recovery.
You have to win an Arkansas game, though, or the thing will fall apart.
Looking that way, for sure.
And what was your question you had in the first hour?
What was the question in the first hour?
Did we have one?
I don't believe so.
I have one. Maybe it has something to do about total wins or something. I can't remember.
Well, I was pitching. I was pitching some optimism, a little hopium, on Thursday because that's been in short supply around here.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the show, you know I'm pretty down on things right now. I'm not gonna run from that, but I'm not ready to, like, Pruitt's. He's made his coffin, and he's climbed in for some strange reason, and the door's not shut on it yet, but it could be. And once that door is shut, they lock those things, I think. I don't know. I'm not an undertaker, but you just don't want to end up in the ground, Phil, to complete the Halloween
Jared
recovery
Pruitt's
metaphor.
Staff still concerns me. I don't think he's got a staff that can overcome his blunders.
I just think he needs to let go and trust the guys around it, because I think he's got good coordinators. I really do. He's got to be a head coach and manage things a little bit better. We're in year three here, and we still see penalties for guys running onto the field late. We see guys looking at the sideline for the play, jumping around. You know, what's the play call? We see busts, things like that. That's indicative of an unorganized, unprepared football team. And I realize he is a young head coach, and that's something I said at the beginning we've got to keep in mind here. But it's not getting better.
Yeah.
Is the thing. And, like, okay, you make some of those organizational mistakes in year one, maybe year two. I'll just chalk it up to on-the-job training. But these things need to be cleaned up here in year three, and they're just not.
Wasn't the SEC so much more fun to watch in the 80s and 90s when it was more wide open and there wasn't that much domination?
Oh,
no. One program.
When Tennessee was good? Yeah, that was a lot more fun, Phil.
And you start off with Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. And then the biggest what if I'll say this to close my call, if Chuck Webb hadn't got hurt, Philip Fulmer would never have been hired as head coach of Tennessee. See,
I remember when Chuck Webb went down against Pacific in 1990, got up.
I was in the stands.
Limped off the field. I was listening to the great John Ward. This is the days when not every game was televised, and certainly playing Pacific was not on TV. And
probably
thinking,
on pay-per-view.
Oh, no. Chuck Webb just limped off the field. That's not good. Never to be seen again.
Completely altered his career. Like he had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he was drafted by the Packers. I don't think he played much. But,
he
became
never
a ghost.
The same. Another thing, imagine if he had been able to, 30 years now of medical. Imagine if he could see a surgeon like Dr. James Andrews.
Yeah. They'd, inject some stem cells or something and grow him a new ACL. He'd come back better.
Yeah.
Take a quick time out.
If he was playing now, he'd probably be – starting for Ohio State or one of those Big Ten teams.
The drive continues. More of your phone calls on the way. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump on. We're back with more after this.
The Drive.
FanRun Radio, The Drive continues. How'd your Celtic boys do today? Y'all get those 3 points, Drew?
No, we drew, but getting 1 point on the road is always good.
Okay.
So yeah. I'll take the 1 point. It's all right. Lille's the top side. They're first place in the French league over PSG. So
you don't just roll into Lille and stroll away with 3 points.
People, you can't beat the Rangers, Drew. You clown.
The Rangers.
I just find it bizarre that, like, you're such a big Oasis guy in Man City, and, like, Liam and your boy Noel are big Celtic supporters as well, yet you're cheering for Rangers.
Oh.
It's very strange, Bear.
Oh,
very strange.
Bear, how do you square that, big boy?
I've got about 20 really good online friends now that are crazy Rangers fans, and they've taught me how to
really good online friends.
Completely disgustingly nasty using Scottish slang, and they're kind of crazy about their soccer. So I told them I'd cheer for I wondered why when I kept saying I was a big Man City fan, because they asked me what club I support. I said Man City. So, I don't really understand how these leagues work over there, to tell you the truth. So, I mean, will the Rangers ever play Man City?
Yeah, like if Rangers made the Champions League, they could play Manchester City theoretically.
How do you make the Champions League?
Well, you would have to win your domestic league. So, in order for Rangers to do that, they would have to win the Scottish League, but that will never happen because they haven't won it in the last 9 years. So,
put that in your pipe and smoke it, big boy.
What? What, Bear?
Russ, could you shut up for a second?
It's fun. He's owning you right now.
We're having a discussion with grown ups.
Oh, you go ahead. And I want to hear more about your good online friends after this, but carry on. I have a lot of really good online friends. They're big Rangers fans. I'm Bear, and I'm going to be giving my betting picks next week.
You need to take it easy because, I mean, apparently the drive is pretty big in Glasgow now because I turned them on our show, you jerk. Yeah, that's right. We've got fans. The drive is big in Scotland.
Oh, yeah. My sister and her friends and roommates listen to it every day. So she lives in Glasgow. So,
how about that? Drew's family's worldwide.
Fun town. Fun town.
Gentlemen, it has been an interesting show. If you're just joining us,
I miss going to Europe and drinking absinthe. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know that the show has been a little negative here the past couple of weeks. We've been down in the dumps for a while, trying to lighten the mood, trying to give some folks some reasons for positivity, some reasons to hold on hope, at least for another week. We'll see what happens. Remember, about a year ago, you lost to Georgia State, you lost to BYU, and Bear, Trey, you guys were on these airwaves, you heard the phone calls, you talked to the people. It was doom and gloom. It was Jeremy Pruitt's done. There's no way he recovers from this. That's what happened. People have a short memory, but he did recover. He got to a bowl game. He won a bowl game. He's able to get the fans back on his side.
And what did I tell y'all last year?
I don't know. What did you tell us?
Remember, y'all were all ready to jump off the Titanic.
That was when you were wanting to fire everybody but Pruitt. I'm correct. That's what I remember. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Told you to stick with Pruitt. He would get the job done.
Well,
hasn't gotten it done yet.
Well, that's why I'm trying to keep an open mind here. This has been a really strange year. I know it's been strange for everybody, but that has to figure into this. You're eventually, and I believe starting next year, but certainly no later than 2020. I don't want to contemplate JG coming back next year. I don't think that's going to happen. But he's not going to be here forever. You are going to have a better quarterback next year. I believe that.
Okay.
We have some nice young talent on offense. Offensive line still developing. Wide receiver, young wide receivers are exciting. We've got some young edge rushers, some depth there now with Roman Harrison, Tyler Barron, Morvin Joseph, Dylan Brooks, maybe Terrence Lewis coming in next year. I think it's interesting that our corners are so banged up. We learned that this week, and that might explain some things on the back end.
You got a young wide receiver group, Russ.
Yeah. And we've got a young head coach, too. And people forget, even Botch had 6 years experience as a head coach before he got this job. Jeremy Pruitt is learning on the job. And I'm not saying that he's going to get it. I'm not saying that it's all going to click for him. But we have to keep that in mind. He has coached, 30 games as a head coach, something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got 30 games under his belt. He's still very young.
Here's the problem with next week's game in comparing it to last year. Joe Moorhead brought a pack of crap Mississippi State team in here. We're going down to Fayetteville with Sam Pittman. He's got two solid coordinators, and he really has that team turned around, and everybody's on the same page, playing a really solid defense.
Yeah.
And I just think that's going to be a lot tougher win for us than the Mississippi State game was last year.
It's a test. It's a bigger test. You're right. It's going to be harder than the Mississippi State game. I don't think that's a good comparison, but as far as like the pivot point of the season, I get that. It's a bigger test. My response to that would be, if everything Jeremy Pruitt says is true about the gap closing, our talent improving, our program being better, then we should be in a better spot for this game against Arkansas than we were for that game against Mississippi State. So even though, yes, the quality of competition is higher, and you're playing on the road as opposed to being at home, your program should be better too. This should not be that hostile of an environment with the
no.
the seating constrictions, and your team should be better. You should be more experienced. You should be better equipped to handle the moment. And
you've already went on the road once this year and won a night game. And I think that helps. I think that helps with everything they're going to go through before the game, leading up. And I just think it's good that they've already got one under their belt. Now, will it matter for next weekend? I don't know. But the fact that they've already done it in a crazier environment in Columbia than probably what they're going to see in Arkansas, I think that helps in a way.
Quick timeout.
Do you disagree?
No, I just think we should be. We're going to find out whether or not the Kentucky game was a fluke, because
great point.
Tennessee fans did not expect to beat Georgia or Alabama. I don't think those results, in and of themselves, are that disappointing. But with the Kentucky game in there, that is monumentally disappointing. It's the most disappointing loss I can remember around here. And that makes those losses to Georgia and Alabama look worse than they actually were, I think. So,
like the Alabama loss, other than just losing Alabama for yet one more year, is not – they're doing that to everybody. They've laid, 40-something on Georgia.
No, and to finish my point, we're going to find out whether or not that Kentucky game was a fluke. If we come out and wax Arkansas or just win the game and we play solid, I think we'll be okay. Well, for whatever reason, they were not up to play. Garantano was sick, whatever. It was the perfect storm of awfulness. And it's on Pruitt for not having his team ready to play, obviously. But that was not indicative of our program being in the crapper the way we've felt it has been for the past week or so. If we come out and lay an egg and we lose again, then it's going to be, okay, well, we got major problems here. and everything that we've been saying for the past week or two is not overreaction. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. We find out who's on the docket, brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens, plus more of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Congratulations. Terrence Davis of the Toronto Raptors arrested in Manhattan Tuesday night this week after allegedly slapping his girlfriend, according to the NYPD. Police said the incident happened around 8:30 p.m. at the Beekman Tower, luxury high-rise building in Manhattan. He's accused of slapping the woman across the face before grabbing her phone and breaking the screen. The victim's not hospitalized. Davis was arrested and will now face assault charges. Did he play at Kentucky?
Yeah.
Terrence Davis?
You asking me or Trey?
Yes. Anybody.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Up for grabs. Oh, he played at Ole Miss. That's right. I knew that sentence.
Yeah.
He was good. He was good there.
Going to see what Rikers Island is like now.
For slapping his girlfriend?
If you get arrested in Manhattan, I'm pretty sure they take you to Rikers, don't they?
Yeah, asking me? I mean, I don't know. I've never been arrested.
I don't know unless he just got taken to the precinct house or anywhere, got released from there.
It's I mean, I'm not making light of it. He shouldn't do it, obviously. A grown man puts his hand on a woman as a coward, but I don't know that you go to prison or anything like that. So, yeah, maybe you go to jail, and then, but you get right back
right,
out.
Rikers Island is like going to the pea farm here. I mean, that's where you go, you know, I think they call it, you go
not
to the
fun.
To get booked. And then I think you can end up at Rikers Island, yeah. I would say he probably got released from a precinct house. But go ahead with your segment, Russ, sorry.
Meanwhile, and a Lady Lake, Florida man arrested after an intoxicated pumpkin smashing incident. Man was,
who doesn't love a good intoxicated pumpkin smash?
Is there a sober pumpkin smashing incident? I don't know that a pumpkin has ever been smashed sober.
I mean, I have. Back in my younger days.
Police called about 7:30 p.m. Monday to a home in Lady Lake where 54-year-old Mark Lee Roberts was sitting on the porch screaming. Police noticed that a pumpkin had been smashed, and a woman said Roberts had thrown the pumpkin against her house. Man then walked into the street and fell over. EMS responded to the scene and evaluated Roberts, who was placed on a stretcher. While on the stretcher, he began screaming and yelling and making multiple references, quote, to his genitals and the females that were on the scene. The disturbance drew the attention of neighbors. He's removed from the stretcher and arrested on charges of criminal mischief and disorderly intoxication.
Sounds like a good time, I guess.
Nope. Florida man. Florida man on the rampage, ladies and gentlemen. That is the docket. It's brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. If you find yourself in a dilly of a pickle, legally speaking, call the law offices of Jerry R. Givens for some free legal advice. That's right. It's free. Phone call is free. The advice is free. So what do you have to lose if you're going through a bankruptcy, a divorce, a criminal matter? Call the law offices of Jerry R. Givens today to set up your free no obligation consultation. 865-801-9250 is their phone number, 801-9250, or just go online to jrglawtn.com. That's jrglawtn.com. The law offices of Jerry R. Givens, legal expertise you can rely on. Austin is next on the drive. Hello, Austin.
Afternoon, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Trey, you brought up a really good point earlier, and I wanted to touch on that and kind of see if you could expound upon it a little bit. You were talking about Pruitt and the guys he has around him and kind of growing out of just having the yes men around him. I was wondering if you could – is that from, like, the lower-level assistants? Because I feel like with Chaney and Ansley, those two guys wouldn't be that way. But just from the situation, I could very much see that being the case with Friend and Winky. What are your thoughts on that?
On who he would fire?
Like who in particular are the yes men on that staff?
I would probably say Winky. I would probably say Will Friend. I would. Derek Ansley's not a yes man. Shelton Felton's probably a yes man because he's a first year big time head coach, and I'm sure Niedermeyer is somebody that. I would imagine is a guy that's not going to disrespect Pruitt or go against what he says.
Don't you think it's important to, like,
I mean, Sheldon Felton makes sense, right?
Well, I think that for him, Jeremy Pruitt, and maybe I'm being naive here, but should be trusted, in my opinion, as your defensive coordinator and as all things defense. So, it might be better from that angle, if we're assuming he's a competent defensive coach, which I am, it might be better for him that he does have quote-unquote yes men, as you all say it. Or, like, if he has young guys that lean on him and defer to him in all things when it comes to coaching on the field, how we play defense here, what this position does, and this, like, that's probably not a bad thing, in my opinion.
No, I don't disagree.
Now, he's not an offensive coach, and when he takes the reins and starts playing video game football his first year and basically putting Tyson Helton in a corner and calling the plays, which he has no experience doing and no business doing at this level, then that's overreach, and he needs a coordinator. I think Jim Chaney probably has this stature to say, no, you go over there, you coach the team, you be the head coach, and if you want to overrule me on a key fourth down call or something, you're the head coach, that's why you make the big bucks, you go ahead and do that. But when we're putting together the game plan through the week and when we're calling the plays over the course of a drive on game day, that needs to be Jim Chaney's call. And if he's not doing a good job, then by all means, let's fire him and get somebody in here who can do a good job. But this is what I talk about, guys, when I'm talking about being a head coach, learning to get delegate. When do I step in? When do I step back? And I think that's a big part of the learning curve that he is struggling with right now.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I think it's something that he still wants people that he's comfortable with. So here's something. There's a reason why, like, Andrew Warsaw is over there. Todd Watson is over there. Guys like that that he's been around with at other places, he can trust that are not on the coaching staff per se. There's a reason why he has certain GAs, like Brandon, you know, Brandon Diedrich. He's a quality control type guy. He brought him in because Brandon played for Jerry.
We want guys who are familiar with this system. It's a very complex defensive system. We want guys who are coaching it, who know it, you know, and I think those things are hard to find. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. As far as who he might fire, yes, men. I mean, obviously, Will Friend, this is that position. I don't mind if they're roommates or whatever and they have a good rapport. Like, that's a good thing in my opinion. But at the end of the day, you have to sit down and say, what is this unit productive? You have to do that for every position, by the way. But I look at our offensive line, and given the talent that's up there, they have not performed well enough. And somebody needs to be held accountable for that.
Well, and that's something, too, where – and this is what it is. You know, you sit down with your best friend and say, hey, and I don't know if they're best friends, whatever. You know what I mean by that.
Guys, well, they go back a long way. Obviously, there's right. This is not like
roommates, man.
Yeah, it's not some dude that he just hired because based off his reputation.
No, but I'm saying you sit down and have that conversation. Like, hey, man, look, I want to keep you involved in my program. We just got to go a different route for the offensive line. Let's put you somewhere else if you want to stay. If not, I understand. You just got to have a hard – we all have those hard decisions, you know, and talks that we have with friends. You know, I know this is on a different level, but that's just something that probably needs to happen because you had your 1 year, really 2 years, where you had a lot of talent on the offensive line. And to be honest with you, I just think they're squandering that talent right now.
Well,
and when
if
you rotate eight different guys in
– yeah.
Every game, there's something going wrong here.
No, I agree. Let's get Hillbilly Bopper in here next. Good afternoon, Bopper. You're on the drive.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for taking my call, Rob.
Yeah, man, what's up?
Hey, man, I was just calling. I want to weigh in, I guess, on the coaching situation. I guess looking at it, I mean, I go back to the South Carolina game last year, and I guess how excited it was to see Chaney, you know, coming out of the gate, you know, coming out, helping us out, kind of getting a rhythm going in that game. And, you know, Warren Tunnel had a breakout game, and he didn't really carry much on into the rest of the season. I mean, because we kind of had, you know, ups and downs in the rest of the games, but he had kind of a breakout game that, you know, kind of put him forward. But at this point, I read an article earlier about guys thinking that Chaney might need to take a step down and put T. Martin in, playing calls. I'm thinking, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I get it that we want to change, but that's
that was on our own website, by the way. Trey, you and I talked about that. That was on the New Sentinel website, so they're grasping at hot takes as well.
There's a lot of hot takes, especially the Shiano take, which I felt was horrible yesterday and last night. I just, you know, I just think that, you know, it comes down to play calling in a sense to, I guess, fundamentals and getting these guys back to fundamentals. Hopefully that's what they're working on this week. According to Pruitt, that's what they're working on is themselves. And I know we've got to look at it from a standpoint as to where is it going from, you know, from here. And I just don't, you know, I had high hopes for Pruitt. I mean, we all did coming into it. And I at best, he's just a coordinator. And I think the head coaching position for him has been too much because he does get a temper. Because am I right? He did fire the defensive lines coach in the middle of the Kentucky game.
No,
and
he
didn't
did
announce
not.
It until Monday.
That's a false rumor. He didn't fire.
That's a false rumor.
He fired him the next day in a staff meeting.
Okay. Well, I think, guys, at this point, we need to go back to fundamental football and get to a point to where we're not calling schemes that it goes over these guys' head. We need to take a look back at that film when we played South Carolina last year and look ahead to this Arkansas team for next week and say, hey, guys, let's make some strides. And if we can't make those strides this year, then, you know, which we've seen we haven't made many strides. We made strides up till you know, the Georgia game and the halftime, and then from there it just went to whatever we had, we threw it out the window. So, I mean, I think it does come down to play calling, but I do agree that there are some guys that need to be cut and that need to go on, especially Will Friend. But, and another thing, too, is leadership. We have no leadership. The only leadership I see on this team is Henry To'o. I don't see it on our quarterback. I don't see it, you know, I don't see it from Palmer. I don't find it a good fit for our guys to continue to play with Jerry Guarantano. So I hope and pray to God we don't see him again next year. I mean, you know, hats off to the guy. I mean, I still go back to that Chick-fil-A kickoff game, and I'll say it over and over. When he was a sideline diva at that game and threw the worst New Jersey diva pouting fit that I've seen in college football, the guy's got to go.
Hey, Bopper, I just want to make sure I'm clear on something. You're telling me you're not a JG fan?
I've never been a JG fan.
I'm sorry. You were a little bit hard to read there. Bopper, thank you, man. We appreciate the phone call. We got to run.
Guys.
Stay with
all
us.
Right, good evening.
The Drive rages on. More Fan Run Radio. We wrap things up coming up after this.
The Drive.
Not put on my headphones just now. Trained radio professional, do not try this at home.
What'd you just do?
I don't know. Couldn't get these darn headphones on. We're good, though. I got it. We're good. Folks, our final segment here is brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Don't let your dental health go to waste this year. Need to make sure those pearly whites are still pearly white. If they're not, you need to do something about it. It can all be done at Knoxville Smiles. They do everything right there in-house, from routine dental cleanings to tooth removal, restorative procedures. The new Invisalign is really phenomenal, fascinating what they do there. Veneers, implants, they'll make the mold of your teeth right there and do it all at Knoxville Smiles. Contact them today to set up your appointment. Tell them your friends here at Fan Run Radio sent you. 865-539-1776 is the number. That's 539-1776. If you're watching Mark Packer's high school football game tonight, Alcoa and them will be looking for the Knoxville Smiles spots. They support local high school football as well. And you might see some pictures from inside their facility off South Peters Road in West Knoxville. KnoxvilleSmiles.com is the website. 539-1776 is the phone number. Knoxville Smiles, Let's see. Do we are we all clear?
I saw.
Okay. Go ahead.
Doc Malone on the TV. He popped up on that Rivalry Thursday deal.
Yeah. Nice family, the Malone family. Love those folks and good.
Oh, great people.
Great supporters of the show. Dr. Costa over there does a great job as well. So
I look forward to that game. I also look forward to there's already been a fight that's broken out in the sidelines before my Jaguars play tonight.
That's always a good sign when you have fisticuffs in the pregame warm-ups.
Yeah, they're already going at it. I'm excited. Shows me they're ready. That's what I need to see.
Let's go Eagles.
What's that on, like CBS Sports Network or something like that?
No, it's on ESPN.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Plus, we're undefeated, just regular
in Sunbelt play. Yep. Undefeated.
Okay. Okay.
Well, y'all aren't undefeated. Tulane beat you.
In Sunbelt play.
In conference play, Bear.
Okay. Yeah. You listen to me. I tried to tell you my boy, J.J. McCleskey, along with Knoxville Catholic grad Chase Kirsten, we're going to school you guys.
We had that crap over with. We gave up. We just didn't play good.
It's been a great show, Russ. Some of our best work.
You think so?
Yeah.
What stands out to you as quality work? Are you kidding?
My story about the rats.
You don't think this has been a good show?
Yeah, it's been a good one. Yeah, we had Mr. Bender on, Bill Bender.
You don't like Bill Bender? Are you taking a shot at Bender now? Like, what's wrong with you?
No.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Not a thing. I said it was a great show. We had Bill Bender on.
And now you're taking your little shots.
No, I was taking a shot at Trey.
I love Bender.
The way he said Bender yesterday.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Bill Bender.
Barrett,
I want to get Trey to do my answering machine. Just in a total, like, bammer.
Bear thinks Southern accents are a sign of lack of intellect, Trey. He doesn't think you sound...
Just South Alabama ones.
Just sound like a hillbilly mountain man. I mean, I could either do that or give you the Southern accent.
I really don't. I don't have that much of an accent. I get drunk.
I don't have that much. He comes out thick.
I ain't got no accent. I'm Bear.
I ain't got no southern accent.
That
way, Donna Red. Sorry, that girl up on the main street ready. Over there on Tools Bend, out there at the P Club playing tennis with the beautiful people.
Jealousy. Not a good look on you, Bear. Not a good look on you.
Bear, you've been to the P Club, haven't you?
Class envy. Not a good look, Bear. Not a good look for this radio program, I would say.
Hey, tomorrow, Chad Withrow will join us, talk Titans and Vols tomorrow, so he'll be on with us at 3:30 Eastern time. We all are down there at Old Ben Franklin, so look forward to having him on.
That'll be cool.
Love Chad Withrow. Again, we will be live at Old Ben Franklin Motors. We will have piping hot Jets pizza for you. It will be fantastic. So make plans to tune in now, 3 to 6 tomorrow here on The Drive, our special Halloween show, a tradition like none other, Halloween falling on a Saturday this year. So we will do those festivities tomorrow. You swing by and see us. We'll be at 9711 Kingston Pike. I will anyway, in costume. So come by, say hello, and take a look at the cars they got on the lot. Can't wait to see what selection they got at Old Ben Franklin Motors tomorrow. That's going to do it for us. Big thanks to Drew Nicholson for all his hard work behind the scenes. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next from 6 to 8. We will do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.